case number six, 21-466. Yay, counsel. Just for the record, can you identify yourself again and your witness, please?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Kate Ayers. I'm a staff attorney for the Connecticut State Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. I'm here representing the issuing authority, who's the commissioner of our department today. Also with me is Shelton Police Department Sergeant William Serrano. His last name is spelled S-E-R-R-A-N-O. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. You may make a brief opening statement if you'd like.
Thank you. Board members, we're here today because this appellant's pistol permit was revoked based on suitability grounds, and we intend to show that this appellant is currently facing a misdemeanor disqualifier charge of threatening second, and he is scheduled for a jury trial on that charge in January 2026. Thank you.
26.
I thought I got bumped.
I'm sorry?
2026?
Is that possible?
Jury trial.
Could I interview?
You can make a brief opening statement.
Okay. Let me answer what she just said. I received a letter saying that, yes, in 2026, because I requested a trial by jury.
Okay.
I had an attorney here, but I fired him.
Okay.
I get this letter, 2026. Okay. Great. I'll be 68 then. I'm 65, going on 66 now. Then I get a phone call by someone in the courts telling me that they made a mistake.
Okay.
That they really wanted me to show up in the court, I think a week or two ago. But she calls me in the middle of the day. And I said, listen, I'm at work. I work. I make an honest living. I'm not robbing people.
Sir, if I could, the case online shows you're going back to court in March 2023, so.
Exactly. Okay. So then she said.
I don't think that is relevant to the case.
No, but first she said 2026. You see, that's what I'm going to tell you.
That
now it's going to do for March.
We've corrected the record.
But it's not a trial.
Okay.
It's what they call a jury call.
All right, it says jury trial.
Yeah, no, I asked them, I said, is this going to be a trial? And they said, no.
We can't tell what it's down for. All we know is your next court.
Well, this is what they're telling me.
Okay.
That it's going to be what they call a jury call. In other words, they said what they do is once a month, a senior judge goes to the court.
Yep.
And I guess we're all going to gather and try to come up with a solution.
Okay.
But it's not a trial.
Okay.
Okay?
That's fair.
Okay.
Okay, you may make a brief opening statement if you'd like.
There's a lot of detail to this matter.
All right, so this is the brief opening statement,
okay.
Then they're going to go, and then you're going to go
right.
with your case.
This involves an issue that happened to me. I'm originally from New York City, and I had an attorney in New York City that represented me in my divorce, the sale of my house, and I had a personal injury case. A dog attacked me while I was helping the neighbor with his other dog.
Excuse me.
It's my finger.
This should be a brief opening statement.
Yes.
And then you're going to get to put on your case, but just say you're going to prove that you're...
Right. This has nothing to do with my gun. I never threatened anybody with my gun. I never said I'm going to threaten anybody with my gun, so I don't even know why this happened, okay? But I have, and by the way, may I ask a question? I sent copies of letters that I wrote to many different departments of the whole judicial system in the state of New York. I wrote 11 letters total. I didn't send you all of them, but there's also two letters from two separate attorneys in New York that represented me that know about the whole issue. Trying to show Connecticut that I am a victim. I got robbed of $100,000 by my ex-attorney, okay? But nobody wants to give me any, you know, leniency because I made a phone call to a third party, who couldn't find my letter. She's a secretary, and she couldn't even find my letter. I gave her 3 days to find the letter. She
All
still
right,
couldn't find
sir,
it.
Sir, if you're going to talk about details.
All right, that's my brief opening. Go
on,
ahead. Let's do it. Let's just do it. Come on.
Okay, what?
You know, I'm
Excuse
done with
me?
This. This is like 5 years already.
You do realize that your demeanor before us does weigh heavily?
You know, whether or not I get the permit back, you know, at this point in my life, I'm going to be 66 in July. I never robbed anybody. I never hurt
don't
anybody.
Don't raise your voice to this board.
You know, if you want to take it away,
understand
I don't care.
What you're doing here.
Really, I really don't. At this point, I'm a victim. I got robbed of $100,000.
Okay, counsel, you may proceed with your case.
Thank you, ma'am. Sergeant, would you please, for our record, one more time, state your full name and spell your last name?
My name is William Serrano. My last name is spelled S-E-R-R-A-N-O.
Thank you. What town are you currently employed by?
The city of Shelton.
And your title is currently sergeant there?
I am a sergeant there, supervised this evening shift.
How long have you worked in law enforcement?
28 years, 23 of which I've spent in Shelton, 23 and a week, a couple weeks.
Sergeant, would you please tell us briefly some of your duties as the sergeant of an evening shift?
Currently, I supervise anywhere from 5 officer minimum to sometimes we have 7 or 8. I'm the highest ranking official from the hours of 4 to midnight, and I oversee basically anything that comes in, criminal, civil, I mean, anything that comes in, I just make sure it's handled properly and oversee that.
Thank you. Sergeant, were you working as a Shelton police officer or sergeant on January 5th, 2021?
I was actually supervising day shift on that particular day.
May I ask, what happened on January 5th, 2021 that ultimately led to your appearing before this board today?
I received a call. It was a little strange because I received a call from a lieutenant that worked. I have his name in my records, but a lieutenant that worked in the New York court system who wanted our assistance with what he said was a threat that was made against a lawyer, a death threat involving a lawyer, involving one of our residents that live in town.
Okay. And I'm sorry, did you say that you were supervising the day shift at that time?
That's correct.
Okay.
And the lieutenant asked to talk to a supervisor. I took that call.
Okay. So did you, in fact, end up speaking with someone from the New York State courts that day?
I did.
Okay. And I'm sorry, did you say that person was a lieutenant, as far as you're aware?
He identified himself as a lieutenant with the court system.
Okay. What was the substance of your conversation with that lieutenant?
He wanted to see, you know, what we can do to assist. Being it didn't happen in Connecticut, it happened in New York. I told him that I would talk to my lieutenant, and I would also talk to our court liaison officer because the courts would have to get involved with the jurisdiction of a crime that was committed in New York and investigating it in Connecticut.
Okay. Do you recall basically what the lieutenant had told you happened?
He told me that the appellate had called and talked to a third party, a secretary, and he was having an issue with an attorney in New York, and he made a threat to kill him. I have the exact verbiage in my report. I could refer to it if the board wants, but it was a death threat that he made to the third party in regards to an attorney that he was having a problem with.
And the third party who the appellant allegedly spoke to, you said she might have been a secretary for the courts or something of that
nature? Yeah, she, because we ended up getting statements from her, and I think, I don't know her exact title, but she was a clerical worker with the New York court system.
So after you spoke to this lieutenant from New York State courts, what did you do next?
I advised our court liaison, and I advised my lieutenant, and then our court liaison got involved with our courts, or I guess interacted with the New York courts, and we ended up getting sworn affidavits from the third party, the secretary or clerk from the New York court. I completed a search warrant and an arrest warrant. I reached out to the appellant and to get his version of those events, because it was obvious the courts had decided that we were going to conduct the investigation. So I was the case officer on that, and I completed most of the reports on it.
Okay. Was the person who allegedly made this threat over the phone the same appellant who's seated to my right today?
Yes.
Okay. Before you spoke with the appellant on the phone on this occasion, were you already familiar with him in any way?
No.
Okay. before you authored your arrest warrant for this appellant, did you run any sort of in-house check at Shelton, or excuse me, yes, at Shelton PD to see if he had been contacted by your department previously?
Yeah. He had filed a report, I'm not sure the exact timeframe, with one of our patrolmen in regards to a problem he was having with an attorney from New York. It was a civil matter, so it was just documented as a matter of record. And of course, I did a check to see if he had pistol permits, any prior things in his SPRC, to just get a gauge for the party I was dealing with.
Okay. So when you spoke to this appellant on or about January 5th, 2021, how did your conversation with him go?
I advised him of what he was being accused of, and I wanted to get his version of that, if he made the call, if he recalls making the call, and you know what happened in regards to that.
What did the appellant say to you in regards to what had happened that led to your calling him?
I have the exact quote, because when I talk to people, I take notes to make sure for accuracy, but he said something to the effect of, I didn't threaten to kill the attorney. I said, what do I have to, his quote was, something to the effect of, what do I have to do? Get the mob to kill him to get somebody's attention on this matter.
Okay, so the appellant said to you on the phone that he said something to that effect?
Yeah, I wrote it down when it was said, and that's accurate, exactly how it would be in my report.
Okay, so the appellant admitted to you that he did say that to the employee of the court on the phone?
That's correct.
Okay. Did the appellant say anything about whether, excuse me, scratch that, after the appellant said to you what he said to the court employee, what happened next?
We completed a search warrant because we were going to seize the, we knew he had one registered gun and a pistol permit to carry a gun, and based on the disqualifying charges that were getting levied against him, I completed a search warrant to seize the gun and the permit, and we completed an arrest warrant to effect the arrest on what happened in New York.
Okay. And was your warrant approved by a judge?
Yes, it was. It was signed by a judge.
Okay. Did yourself or any other Shelton PD officers then execute that warrant?
Yes. A few of us went over. I'm not sure the exact number I would have got to, but anything involving a gun will usually go with, I'm not going to go by myself. We'll go with a couple patrolmen, a supervisor, and I think a detective might have went also.
Okay. What was the appellant's behavior like when the Shelton PD officers went and executed that warrant that you'd written?
He was cooperative.
Okay. When this appellant was arrested on that occasion, was there any discussion of his firearms that you recall?
Well, we seized the one registered firearm, and he advised us that it was the only firearm that he currently had possession over.
Do you remember what the charges were that were levied against this appellant at that time?
I have it written down, but I think it was a threatening and a breach.
Okay. Breach of peace?
Breach of peace and threatening, okay. I'm sure the degree.
Okay. Sergeant, after this incident involving the appellant, did your department have any further contacts with the appellant that you're aware of?
Yeah, there was another case where the appellant had an issue with, he lives in a condo association, with the condo association president. I have a little bit of involvement in that. I didn't document any reports under my name, but I did gather the reports before I came here. I did have a conversation with the appellant, who was very angry. One of our detectives ended up receiving a complaint that he took in regards to what was described as the condo board association was very concerned with the appellant. They were concerned that he felt his behavior was aggressive, and they were nervous. Although in review, it didn't reach the level of any criminality. No charges were filed. One of our detectives, who kind of just spearheaded it and reached out to the appellant didn't want to talk to him in regards to this, but then he ended up calling me one night when I was working as a supervisor on evenings. He was extremely angry would be the only way I could describe his demeanor on the phone. In turn, it only ended up getting documented because it didn't reach the level of criminality in regards to what was alleged. But then he just ended up calling, I guess, our department, City Hall, the FBI, the state. I have a list in a report demanding that the detective that reached out to him be fired, terminated.
Okay. Did you say that you did speak to the appellant on the phone about this issue with the condo association?
I did.
And do you recall what he was angry about when you spoke to him?
He had a problem with his front steps and in trying to get the condo association to fix them. But it was his behavior and his presentation of that which concerned the board members of the condo association.
When you spoke to this appellant on that occasion regarding the condo association, what was your overall impression of the appellant?
He was very angry.
Okay. Sergeant, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you think this board should know in regard to the appellant?
I mean, we have a lot of condos, different condo complexes in town. Occasionally, we'll get a call like that. We'll try to head it off the pass to let somebody know, hey, look at, you know, your behavior is making people concerned. You might want to caution yourself, and that's what I did to the appellant. That's what I did to him on the phone. You know, just be careful proceeding. You don't want a repeat of what happened in New York, because I did have that exposure to him. We had met through that investigation, and it was just me cautioning him. You know, I questioned that why it rose to the level of those individuals being concerned, which is a concern for law enforcement.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention to the board, Sergeant?
No, I think we covered it, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. I have no further questions for the sergeant at this time.
Thank you, Counsel. Sir, do you have any questions of the sergeant?
Well, he says individuals. Do you have a name? Did they file a police report?
Yes.
I never got a copy of the police report.
I'm going by memory.
There you go. Yeah. You know, I wrote a letter to the mayor,
sir,
of Shelton.
Do you have questions of the
witness? I asked him the questions, and I want to respond.
You will respond when it's your turn.
Oh my God.
It's your opportunity.
Go ahead.
To
go ahead. Okay, let's go.
Witness.
Let's go. You know, just again, I work. Okay, I make an honest living. Let's go.
Does the board have any questions of the witness? Counsel, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, sir. You may now proceed.
Okay. Let me begin by saying that this whole issue with the condominium started because James Cormier, who happens to be the president of the Condominium Association, has a friend in the Shelton Police Department, who I believe is Detective Bango. All right? Yes, I had water damage to my stoop, and I asked for it to be repaired. But then Cormier started saying that the prior owner painted the concrete steps, and because they painted the concrete steps, the board is no longer responsible to maintain the steps. And I said to him, well, where does it say that in the bylaws? Show me. Do you have proof that the prior owner painted the steps? He never came back. The bylaws has nothing that says that a current owner inherits the repercussions of a prior owner's actions. And he never proved to me that the prior owner painted the steps. Next thing you know, I said to him, listen, if you don't fix these steps, I'm going to sue you. I give you 30 days to fix the steps. What happens? One day I'm at work, I get a phone call. Shelton Police Department. I'm like, what the hell happened? A fire or a break-in? Oh, this is Detective Bango. Yeah? I understand you have a problem with your condominium association. A detective calling me about the problem I'm having with my condominium association? That's a civil matter. Detectives are only supposed to involve with criminal matters. And he says, hey, you're not getting arrested. I said, yeah, I know. I just want to talk to you. I said, well, I'm at work. I can't talk to you now. Call me after 5. Well, I get out at 5. I hung up the phone. The next day, and backtrack, when I get home from work, Detective Bango actually left his business card wedged in my door. Okay, the next day, 2 patrol cars show in my house at 8 o'clock at night. I'm watching TV, the doorbell rings. Go out, what's going on? Well, yeah, they sent us over here because they said some people said you're threatening them. I said, who? Do you have a name? No. Did they file a police report? No. So I said, why are you bothering me? I said, I'll tell you what's going on here. You see these steps? See the damage? I asked them to fix it, and now this guy is becoming a pain in my back, all right, because he has a friend in the police department who told him about this whole matter that I got arrested because of the case in New York. Right? And it seems that as long as you say you were threatening somebody, oh, everybody goes batshit. Excuse my French. No proof. You have to have proof. Anybody who makes an allegation has to corroborate that allegation. Okay? No names, no police report. So I don't know, even know why he even brought that up, but fine.
I have police reports with names.
Well, nobody gave me a police report. And so what I did was I wrote a letter to the mayor of Shelton.
On the point of the revocation here.
I wrote a letter to the mayor of Shelton, and I said to him, listen, this is what's going on. The mayor sent the letter to the chief of police, and next thing you know, they left me alone. And they fixed the steps. Okay? Which is what I pay my monthly fee. What do you think, I'm going to pay a monthly fee and not get 100% of the maintenance? Okay. It's bad enough that I'm going through the issue that I started in New York with my attorney, all right, who represented me in three matters, my divorce, the sale of my house, and then I had an injury case. You see this finger twisted? Okay. I got attacked by a dog helping somebody. He starts hounding me for a loan. He wants to open up a new office in downtown Manhattan. He writes a contract. I give him 100 grand. He takes the money. He signs the contract. He writes the contract. Then he says, in the contract, there's verbiage, oh, I'll agree to a judgment if things go wrong. He starts paying the money. Then he stops paying. Then I had to start a lawsuit, a judgment. Then I also reported him to the New York State Bar Association's grievance committee. But since he's an attorney, he knows every little trick to do to make everything go longer, so that my legal fees go up higher, all right? He would submit a document 84 pages long. You know how long it takes for an attorney to read an 84-page document? Meanwhile, he's charging me money per hour to read. He has to analyze the verbiage, etc., how to respond to it. Make the long story short, I got my judgment, but I also got a $30,000 legal fee bill. Okay? Like I said, I'm in my mid-60s. I should be ready to retire. This guy robs me of 100 grand. Now I got a $30,000 legal fee bill because the judge didn't give me the legal fees, but she gave me the judgment, right? But that doesn't mean I'm going to get my money back, right? So what, am I supposed to be happy? No. During the process of the lawsuit, I'm trying to get this guy disbarred, right? And they're dragging their feet. Let me know if I'm putting you to sleep. I don't appreciate that. So now I'm going to give it back to you. All right? Look at what he's doing. Flip this.
I'm waiting for you to get to the point here.
The point is, I wrote 11 letters to different parts of the judicial system of the state of New York, and I sent the letters.
Did you get him disbarred?
Excuse me?
Did you get him disbarred?
Yes. Okay. He had 11 charges up against him. Mm-hmm. Look at him. I sent the link.
I read it. It's all before the court, all before the bar.
Oh, so I sent the link. You went into the website to pull the report? Yes. I sent 11 letters, and the final letter that I wrote was, this was before he got disbarred. The final letter that I wrote was to Chief Janet DeFiore. She's the Chief Justice of the Court of Appeals of the State of New York. And I wrote her a letter. I think I sent a copy of that letter. I wasn't receiving any response after a while, you know? And I was like, what's going on? So I call. I spoke with a woman. I think her name is Ann Beyer. So, very nice. You know, I said, well, I sent the letter. What happened? You know, well, I haven't received any response. And I told her, I'm writing letters all over the state of New York. You need to stop this guy. He's going to hurt other people. I wasn't concerned only about me. If you read the letters, I mentioned he's going to hurt other people. And he did. He did. Okay? She couldn't find my letter. I gave her time. I think I gave her 3 days to look for the letter. I called back. She still didn't find the letter. A secretary, at a minimum, should be able to find the letter. So I lost it. I said to her, listen, I'm writing letters all over the place here. So to Janet DeFiore, Margaret Sowa, Jorge Dopico, you name it. I wrote letters all over the place and still nothing. I said, what do I have to do? Call them up? It was a jab at the system. Not that I said I'm going to, hurt this guy Castro. I've never been arrested in my life. In fact, I was in law enforcement for 8 years, from 1985 to 1993. a fraud auditor for the New York State Attorney General's Office, white-collar crime investigations, testified in grand juries, many of them, and is in trials, okay? I'm not a criminal. It was a jab at the system. Why? Because this woman, who's a secretary, couldn't find my letter? And you know what's the ultimate thing? It turned out that I needed to write the letter to the appellate court, not the court of appeals. Those are two separate courts. The appellate court is the court in charge of disbarring the attorney. So I got myself into this mess by writing a letter to the wrong court. And, of course, an incompetent secretary. So I told the prosecutor, I hired an attorney here, let me backtrack, hired an attorney for a full year. Once a month, I had to go and sit on a bench in a court in Derby, taking time off from work, and nothing. On the 12th month, I told James Coco, is his name, I said, listen, if you don't get this drop today, that's it, you're fired. You didn't get a drop. So I said, you're fired. And I asked the judge, I want a trial by jury, and I'm going to represent myself. It was very simple. If you have a group of people who earn an honest living their whole lives, and they hear my story, I think I'm going to prevail. Okay? I didn't threaten Castro. It was to a third party, and it was a jab at the system. Why? Because the system is flawed, and everybody says so, and nobody's doing anything to fix it. Okay? And here I am. You want to take my gun permit away? I never used my gun on him. I never said I'm going to use my gun. He comes out with all these lies. In fact, I don't know if you look it up. Nobody does a proper investigation. He took me to court in Milford when he found out I got arrested. Yeah, he took me to court trying to get an order of protection. They threw it out. You can't make accusations without corroborating it. And in fact, I don't know if I sent the copy of that letter. I have it right here if you'd like to see it.
We have whatever you submitted to the board.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I sent you the letter that says that his attempt to get an order of protection on me in Milford was thrown out. I got it right here if you'd like to see it. But I'm going to need it for the trial if it goes that route.
No, sir. The letter we state to you states that you have to submit your evidence 10 days prior.
Okay, well, I'm not lying. You can look it up if you want. It's all public information. I'm sure it is. The thing is, look, I am the victim here. And you know what? The state of Connecticut and New York is bouncing all over me. Meanwhile, this guy, all right, he got disbarred, but he's not in jail. He robbed me. He robbed other people. He robbed the finance company. You want to hear that story? He submitted a fraudulent loan application.
Sure, I don't think that has anything to do with you.
Sure it does, because all of this led me to be here.
It's actually before the board already. It's in the packet.
Which board? What's
the board that you're appearing for? This board right here.
Yeah.
You have this information in the grievance committee's decision to disbar the attorney.
Yeah. But I mean...
Okay, but what I mean is, we've already read it.
Okay, and did you read the part that he tried to get an order of protection of me in Milford, and it was thrown out of court by a judge? It was thrown out. All right, so I look, again, I got the pistol permit. In New York City, you're not allowed to get a pistol permit. I guess all of you should know that. All right, I moved to here because I worked for GE Capital at the time, okay, and I got a divorce. I lose my job at GE Capital. This guy robs me of $100,000. You know, obviously, I'm going through a lot in my life. And then 4 years to disbar this attorney? Meanwhile, he's threatening me. He put it in writing. There's not much you can do to me. You're going to have a bigger problem than collecting a debt. He would put it in writing. What do they do to him? Nothing. I make a phone call to a third party. Oh, I'm under arrest. Really? Okay. Really? You can keep your pistol permit, all right, if you want. You know, I got it because my neighbor, when I moved to Connecticut, she said, hey, Jose, get a pistol permit. We'll go to the shooting range, you know, blah, blah, blah. All right. I was shocked how quickly you can get a pistol permit here. How quickly. It's amazing. New York City, no. And they told us, you want this pistol permit, don't go to New York City with your weapon, because you will be arrested on the spot. Everybody here has a gun. Yeah, I've been to the range a few times, but look at what it got me. Look at all of this crap. Why? Because I loaned a guy $100,000 And in writing, he signed, a lawyer signed a contract, then refuses to pay, and is trying to say that the contract is illegal. And dig this, he says, oh, the interest rate is usurious, where there's a paragraph in the loan agreement that says this contract does not violate any usury laws. And they let him go down that wormhole. And now he got a $30,000 legal fee bill. So that's why I made the phone call. But again, in my phone call, I never said anything about a gun. I did say, what do I have to do, call the mob? Because it was like, geez, I'm doing it the right way. I'm going to the courts, and they're not giving me justice. What do I have to do, call the mob? Believe me, I don't have the mob in speed dial. I mean, I'm not even Italian, okay? I'm not even Italian. So you think they're going to listen to me? you guys are crazy, man. Really. Believe me. It was a jab at the court system. So you want to believe it? Fine. If not, keep your permit. Are we done here? I got to go. Really. I got to go.
Sir,
make a living.
Do you want your pistol permit back?
I mean, I would like it back. Yeah, sure. Because, I'm in my mid-60s.
Would you like to withdraw your appeal?
No. I'm going to let you guys decide based on the facts. I sent you copies of all, not all of them, most of the letters. By the way, do you see there's two letters, one from Stephen Strauss and another from John Carroll, two attorneys that represented me in New York and knew about everything that I've been going through. They wrote those letters for me to show the courts here in Connecticut. But I don't know if this guy, James Coco, showed them the letter, because I think James Coco wanted it to go to trial so that he can charge me $500 an hour. You see? That's why for 12 months, I went into a courtroom and sat on a bench out there while they went into a room, the prosecutor, Coco, and the judge, and locked the door. For all I know, they're having cake and coffee in there. I mean, really, I don't know. I couldn't hear what he's saying. I don't know if that attorney's doing right by me. But he didn't get the job done. $1,800 down the toilet. I lost already 100 grand. Why not? Another 1,800. I don't have enough time in my life to make up that 100 grand. You understand? I'm not going to live that long. It took me 29 years to earn and have 100 grand saved up. I don't have 29 years left. So that's why I have this attitude. The system let me down. All right? And everybody still wants to take a shot at me. Oh, yeah, keep kicking him while he's down. Now it's you guys. That's all I have to say. The documentation proves everything that I've told you. And if you want to see more, there is more. I didn't send you everything. So, I just want to go on with my life. I got to go back to work because I have to try to make up that money, whatever I can. I mean, there is a small light at the end of the tunnel because he has a lawsuit against the city of New York and the NYPD. This guy. They roughed him up. So he has a lawsuit. So if he wins that lawsuit, I put a lien on that case. If he wins that lawsuit, I have a shot at getting my money back. But if he doesn't, I'm out. Then I'll be on the welfare system, a burden on all of you. Are we done? I gotta go.
You can leave if you want.
All right, you make a decision. I heard you're gonna put it in writing. And by the way, let me ask you a question on this other case. Just because you punch somebody in the face, you get your pistol permit on it?
That is not before us.
I mean,
right,
listen,
now.
If you get into an altercation,
sir,
you punch somebody in the face.
Sir, sit down or leave. We're not talking about
that case. It was just a question. Oh, my God.
We asked the questions. Counsel, do you have any questions for the witness?
I do not. Thank you, ma'am.
I know you wrote a lot of notes. That's good, because you know what? Rebecca
sir,
Barry doesn't do anything like that.
Does the board
She's
have any
incompetent.
Questions of the appellant?
We're done?
Sir, do you have any other witnesses?
Those are my witnesses. Documented evidence.
Sir,
I don't need
do
somebody
any...
to come here. Oh, well, yeah. You know
do
what?
You
on the 28th, one of those attorneys is going to come up here and with me. Mr. Strauss.
Okay.
He's going to come up.
You are entitled to make a brief closing statement if you'd like.
Again, look at the facts. Read the letters. You'll see that I wasn't only concerned about myself. I was concerned about other people. That he was going to hurt other people. And he did. He did. It was a day that I was completely frustrated with the system. A secretary who could not find us a letter. And I gave her 3 days to find it. and she couldn't find it. There's a lot of people in the system that just want to put in their time to get to that pension. That's all they care about. Get to that pension. You know what I'm saying? Justice, if it drops in their lap, okay. But investigate, you know, do some investigation. Rebecca Barry calls the attorney. Oh, and what does he do? Of course, he's going to lie. Oh, yeah, you know, he threatened me and blah, blah, blah. But does she ask, do you have any evidence? The system, the whole, he would, oh, I got into a car accident. Can we postpone the date for another day? Did they ask him to prove the car accident? He said that I threatened a judge. I wrote an email by threatening a judge. Did they ask, where is that email? Did they ask the judge? Did you receive a threatening email from Mr. Cruz? Meanwhile, he's committing perjury. And they don't hit him with perjury. I guess when you're an attorney, you get away with a lot, right? Seems that way. Have a good day.
Counsel, do you have any closing remarks?
I do not. Thank you, ma'am.
Does the board have any comments?
Just for the record, the appellant has left the room.
Oh, yes, we will put that on the record. The appellant has left the room and slammed the door shut. Any other comments? I'll just make a brief comment because I think it's important that at no time did the appellant address the reason that he's here in detail. He seemed to have a lot of blame to place on other people, such as the secretary who lost the letter or could not find the letter for 3 days. It seemed like he was blaming her for the statement he made. I don't think he contradicted the fact that he brought up the mob and killing of his former attorney. So that will be guiding my decision. Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Iaconis.
Issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority.
And Chair votes issuing authority. And we're going to take a break. Yeah.